The Daf Amar Makamos, Siman Kuf Pe Gimel, the back of that has the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Tesva, pasuk Yutes, Isha ki tiyezava dam yiyezova bibisara, shivasimim yebinidasako nagei abba yitmad ha'arev. Chazal ardoresh bibisara, that she be margisha bibisara, and that's what's brought over here in Sif Aleph in Siman Kuf Pe Gimel. Isha shi yatsa dam mimekora, bein ba'ones, bein ba'rotzon, Tumei'ah. However, with the condition, v'hu shetargish b'yitziyaso. V'hu shetargish b'yitziyaso. Umihu mi shetargish bo, shmi shenekam imakomo tumei'ah, afal pi shal yotza lachutz, v'afilo rasa, again, turn it upside down, elatip asdam kachardo, yosheves alav shiva nekiyim. So we see over here is that a woman is considered to be a nida mida oraisa, when we have two conditions, A, that we have dam, which is yotzei mimikora, and B, that there is a hargosha that accompanies that yitzias dam. It's irrelevant if she's a penuya or if she's an eshes ish. It's irrelevant if we're dealing over here with a re'iyah that would be a normal cyclical re'iyah or an unusual re'iyah. And even if we know the reason for the re'iyah, that she fell down and was frightened, or was frightened, if this woman is currently in a situation where alpidin she's musulekes midamim, she's pregnant, she's nursing, she's a zakena, postmenopause, she's still yelda, as long as we have dam min harechem and plus hargasha, then she's a nida Mida Oraisa. We'll see later on that when you have dam in harechem without the hargasha, then she'd be nida midrabanan. The only exception to this rule is dam petza, dam maka. And dam maka is something that that can be ascertained with a gynecological examination. But if it's not dam maka, then we have over here dam nidus. Generally, when a woman has an unusual sight of blood, which is not part of her cyclical machzor, then if she's, it generally comes from one of two reasons. Either that she's in a period of menopause, in which women's cycles go crazy, or that she has taken something artificial to try and regulate herself, or to try not to become pregnant, that she's taken some hormones, and the hormones are playing havoc with her system. But all of those, Dr. Tendler gives the overall category as being dam coming from a hormonal change. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's basically all dam except for dam maka. In terms of the hargoshos that we're dealing with over here, so in the Piskei Tshuva, Sifkatan Aleph, mentions da de shlosha minei hargoshos yesh linyan shetei tmei amidoreisa. He quotes the Rambam Nizdaza Gufa. He quotes the Machaber Trumas Adeshen Niftach Mekora. And then the third one is already a Machokas Rishonim Kishemargeshes Dovarlach Zavimena Bifnim. No, the Yehuda views that as a hargosha. Chasam Sofer in many, many places disagrees very, very strongly and says that that's not a hargosha. Halach lamaisa, we're machmir like all of these shitas, plus with one other chumra. Nowadays we say that women, nischanu hatvayim, women are much less sensitive to what goes on inside of their bodies. Maybe if they were lying on the bed listening to Mozart, they would be able to be more in tune with what's going on inside of them. But most women are Baruch Hashem very, very busy running around and don't always have that sensitivity to what's inside of them. So Rav Yoshev Paskin, that if a woman has a regular cycle, she has a machzor, she gets her period, even if there's no hargasha, that Rav Yoshev felt borer, that she's a nida midoraisa. There's no, in other words, that the moment that we're dealing over here with with something which is built into the woman's nature, then they will assume that argasha v'lava daita. This concept of argasha v'lava daita we also apply to specific situations which are found here in the Piskei Tshuva, in matzah dam bibedika, below hargasha. A woman does an internal exam. Even if there's no hargasha, if there's a riyas dam, we view that as nidus mida oraisa. Again, the difference between nida and oraisa, nida drabana, we'll discuss later on, but let's give one of the main differences. that nida midareisa afilo tipas dam kachardol yosheves alav shiva nikiyim. While nida drabanan, when there's no hargasha, we call it ketem. There you need a ri'ah the size of a gris. So over here, if a woman does an internal exam, even if there's this tiny spot of blood, we view her as a nida midareisa. I, there was no hargasha, so we assume that the act of doing the exam would mask any hargasha. That the savra hergesh edo shamashu etc. Hu hadin in terms of tashmish, if a woman has a re'iyah immediately after tashmish, we view that as a re'iyah midaraisa, and we don't need all of the conditions that we normally have in terms of a ketem. The question that arises in terms of what's brought over here on the last line, the very last word in that column, v'chein samuch lehatalas mei raglayim. What if a woman wipes herself after being metila mei raglayim, and she sees on the toilet paper that there is a red spot? So if we're dealing with a ketem, so we say, paper, you know, maybe it's not makabel tuma, maybe the spot is in the size of the gris, mashenken. If we view this as a nidus midaraisa, but just as the act of tashmish masked her hargasha, just as the bedika pnimis masked her hargasha, maybe also atalas mei raglayim is masking her hargasha. So this is a very, very serious issue. And the poskim generally give a woman two eitzos so as not to get involved in order to be able to not have to deal with the possibility that she is maybe a nida midaraisa. One is that a woman should train herself, and this I view as very, very difficult because most of us are not willing to do it, not to look at the paper. In other words, to wipe herself without looking at the paper after she is matila mei raglayim. And it's to override one's natural curiosity to be sure that one is just to check what's going on. The second would be to that a woman would train herself not to wipe herself immediately, to wait a minute, or if she can't wait a minute, to wait 30 seconds. If she can't wait 30 seconds, wait 15 seconds. Normally, women tend to wipe themselves, the studies say, I don't know who did the study, but a study says that a woman tends to wipe herself within 10 seconds after being metila mei raglayim. So to wait longer, preferably a minute or half a minute or 15 seconds, and then we can already say this re'iyah is already without a hargasha, that even that whatever may have come about it during the time of Tulsa Mei Raglayim, that's already finished. And this is already, even if there would be some red that came about after the Tulsa Mei Raglayim, and there was no Hargosha, and therefore we can be Mekel with the dinim of a ketem rather than being Machmir over here with the dinim of Nidus Midaraisa. That's what we find in terms of the combination of the re'iyah plus the hargasha. If we move over to the next page where it says Siman Kuf Tzadi, over there the Machaber quotes the language of the Trumas Hadesh in the very last line. V'im hirgisha sheniftach mekora lahotzi, dam ubadka ach lahotzi dam. This we mentioned. This is the hargasha of the Trumas Hadeshen. Ergisha sheniftach mekora. I saw in one of the Sfarim that it said that a man would try and imagine this if he had to urinate and he had held back for a period of time, and now he's standing in a place where he can urinate and he lets himself go, and then he would feel like an akitza. In other words, like that there would be like a sense of something opening in order to be able to allow the mei raglayim to come out. That would be this hargasha of nif. But of course, we're not talking over here about the urinary tract. We're talking about the makar. Then a woman would have a similar feeling. But the machaber continues, ubad ka achar kaf lo matza klum. But there's no re'iyah. We have the hargasha without a re'iyah. Yesh mi she'omer shehi tmeya. That since when you have a hargasha, the re'iyah only has to be tipas dam kachardol. So this is the Trumas Hadeshen who says that even if there is no chardal, we'll say maybe it got lost and the woman is tmeya due to the due to that hargasha. That is something that we don't normally find nowadays, that women have such a hargasha, not find dam. But what we do have are women who have hargashot, and then when they check themselves, they find that they have a riya tahora, that they have a color which is not considered to be dam. And there are women that this is the way that the uterus and the prosdor keep themselves clean, that they're constantly exuding some sort of a liquid from that area. And the question is, if every time a woman has a hargasha, does she have to check herself? So the halacha is that if a woman, from the time that she reaches a stage of having a period, were to check herself three times after her hargasha and find that it's a color which is naki, there's no need for her to check herself any longer. She already has a chazaka that these are riyot tahorot. The Pisrei Tshuva over here at the end of Sif Katan Gimel, the Kasavod, the Kasav Chachmas Adam, who had in Nashim Shiraga Lehem Lecha Levana, Umuchzekes Baze, then Afilu Hergisha Zivas Davralach, Velobatka Tahora, Kemon Shimuchzekes Urigila Bekach, Talinon Bematsui. Now you understand that this is Dafka if she's not expecting her Veset, but if we're dealing with a day where she's expecting her Veset, then she has to check herself and see whether Bemet there is a Riyah Tahorah. And in that situation, if she were to check herself and not find anything, then we would say that she would be Tmeyah. That's where we would apply the din of the Trumas Hadeshin. Okay, that's in terms of the world of a Riyah that comes about with a Hargasha. And that creates a nidah d'oraisa, and pointed out that the hargasha without the ri'iyah perhaps could also create a nidah d'oraisa. But there is another category as well of creating a nidah d'oraisa, and that's what we find in Siman Kuf Tzadi Dalet. It's page over here, page Kuf Tet Zayin, Sif Beis. It speaks about the fact that if a woman has a miscarriage, ma'pelet, very, very early on in the pregnancy, within the first 40 days, Eino chosheshet levrad. There's no chiyus within the first 40 days. It's not considered to be a leida. Aval chosheshet mishum nida afilu lo rasa. Even if there was no dam, simply that there was a piece of basar that came out that never developed, we say that she's a nida. Why should she be a nida? So there was neither dam nor hargasha. So here we have a machlokus in the Gemara. But we paskin neshi'i efshar leptichas hakever below dam. In order for this piece to come out, in order for the woman to miscarry, the rechem had to open up a little bit, because the natural opening of a rechem is between 1 and 2 millimeters, which is very, very small. And so in order for this piece, which is more than 1 or 2 millimeters, to come out, the rechem had to open. So Chazal had a Kabbalah, I evshel psichas hakever below dam. Kever over here relates to the makar, relates to the rechem. And therefore we assume that again there's tipas dam kechardal, and the moment that there's tipas dam, we have over here a situation of nidus mida oraisa. We have nidus over here mida oraisa. The question is, Mirz Hashem, no one should ever have to have a miscarriage. But the question is as to whether psichas hakever below dam, yesh psichas hakever below dam, will also come about in the other direction. Not when something comes out of the rechem, but when something goes into the rechem. If a doctor were to do an examination and insert something into the rechem, would he also say that yesh psichas hakever below dam? So that's a famous tshuva, the Noda B'Yehuda, it's quoted over in the Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkat and Dalet. Ayin Noda B'Yehuda Tinyan, Achel Ki Aradeya, Demashem Ruyesh psichas hakever below dam, Ein chiluk ben gram hapsicham bibifnim ubein mi bachutz. Even if it's coming from an external source, from the outside in, it's also, we say that the woman is a nida, even if no blood is seen. A doctor does an exam, and he says, he inserts something into the uterus and says, I didn't see any blood. B'cholzo, we say, yev shel psichas hakever below dam. The Chazon Ish, al pi svara, thinks that there's room to be machalik, because when something comes from the inside, there is lachatz, there is pressure that forces the rechem to open. Mashenkin, something from the outside, it's not necessarily that there is that internal pressure, it's not a natural pressure, something from the outside, but l'maisa, that's the way the world is noheg. The question is, how large does the psicha have to be to apply this principle of Yeshar psicha below dam? That's a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Gra. If you look on the next page, where you have over there Sif Vav, where it says Sif Vav, Bamedrim Amurim, etc. So he ends off, Imi Chaticha Ketan, if that which came out is Kishir Shvoferes Kone Daksha Bedakim, Divrei Atzmo, namely, that there is no Gemara that defines how much the Psichas HaKever has to be. The Beis Yosef says it's the size of the smallest straw. Shroferet daka dak shebedakim. A small straw, that would be the equivalent, that opening, which is, if the normal opening is 1 to 2 millimeters, so that would be between 2 and 3 millimeters. Just opening up a little more, that's already Yavshel Psichas HaKever below dam. So the only thing, according to the Beis Yosef, that would be mutter would be if a doctor were to give a woman a shot with a needle, in other words, in the opening of the rechem. That is something which is less than a straw. But most of the things that would be inserted would be a problem. Let's say, in other words, just to give a sense of what we're talking about, if we take a ballpoint refill, right? This would be the shvoferes dako shebedakim. This already is considered, according to the Beis Yosef, to be, if this were to be inserted into the rechem, yefshar l'psichas hakever below dam. That the way the rechem is open naturally, it allows liquids to come out. Blood can come out. Lamaisa, blood comes out. Liquids can come out. But liquids would come out in a smaller area than this, like out of a mazrekah, out of a needle, liquids also come out. But this already would be considered to allow a solid to come out, and were a woman to miscarry more than this size, that would already, we'd say that she is a nida. The Gra disagrees. Look over here in the Gra, in the end, very, very end, the last Gra, in Siman Kuf Peche, he says, Imi chaticha v'chulei, eina mefurashir ha-chaticha psichas ha-kever, aval, the perek zayin do'olos, amrinon, ein l'nafalem v'chulei. Like everyone knows perek zayin do'olos. So if you look over there in perek zayin do'olos, Mishnah Dalet, the Mishnah says as follows, ein l'nafalem v'psichas ha-kever, ad shi ye'agilu rosh kapika. That there is only psichas hakever due to a miscarriage if it comes out the size of the of a pika. A pika is a knitting instrument, and it's usually defined as being 15 millimeters. Again, this is 3 millimeters. 15 millimeters, you're dealing with something which is about the thickness of a finger. In other words, that only if an object the size of the thickness of a finger would go in, that's what we're speaking about, Yevshel Psichas HaKever Belodam. It's a tremendous machlokis between the Gra and the Beis Yosef. Nachgamina is in terms of, let's say, a woman who needs an IUD to be inserted, an interuterine device. So how do the doctors do it? What they do is they have like a straw, and inside of the straw you have this metal coil which is all squished up, folded up inside of the straw, and the doctor inserts the straw and then presses a button on the bottom of the straw, and this thing like goes out into space. This metal coil goes out of the straw into the uterus and opens up like a T, and that prevents the woman from becoming pregnant. How it works, no one really knows. Some say that it works by preventing the beta, which has been impregnated by the zera, of attaching itself to the walls of the uterus. Some say it causes a miscarriage. No one really knows how it works, but it works. But the question is as to whether the woman's a nida when that's inserted. So if you pass like the Beis Yosef, the woman should ask that it be inserted when she's having a period, when she's tmeya anyway. Mashenkan, according to the Gra, the doctor would be able to insert it even when she's tahor. The Rav Moshe Paskins like the Gra. Rav Moshe Paskins, the larger shear. Going back to the Noda Biyuda we read earlier, Noda Biyuda said, Kigon sharofe hichnis etzba'o o ezekli upatach piha makor. Then that woman is considered to be Tumeya. So there's a bracket there. Ayem b'sefer binas adam, shekosav alav demash shekosav gon sharofe hichnis etzba'o, agav shitfei kosav kein. It was certainly a mistake in terms of reality. Shari ikar bedika behefsek tara, shemachnis etzba'o ba'omek. A woman does a bedika behefsek tara by putting a cloth on her finger. She gets nowhere near the rechem. A person's finger is not going to go anywhere near the rechem, the same way as during the ma'isa tashmish. the person's avir goes nowhere near the rechem. Psichas hakever is not the opening of the prozor, it's the opening of the rechem. And so he says that over here the it was simply a mistake in Nodib Yehuda, but it wasn't so much a mistake. Nodib Yehuda is giving you a mushal of the width, of the circumference of what goes in. This is the shita of Rav Moshe, of the Gra, that if something goes in the size of an etzba, certainly the etzba itself is not going to go in, but if something goes in the size of the etzba, that's what's called psichas hakever. Okay, that's what we find over here. So what does go in? Again, most medical exams a woman undergoes, and Shemekah Baruch Shalom Asani Isha, B'Shem U'Malchus, that we don't have to undergo these examinations because they're terribly uncomfortable for a woman, very, very invasive. So most of what a woman goes through is either the doctor Bemet checks with a finger, which goes nowhere near the rechem, or an ultrasound, which goes nowhere near the rechem, or a pap smear, nowhere near the rechem. In other words, all of these exams go nowhere near the rechem. The exam that goes into the rechem is basically if a woman needs an x-ray of the rechem, that's something that's very invasive and would go in. But generally, she should always ask the doctor what he's using, but if he says, I'm using a speculum, which is like a little mirror, that goes nowhere near the rechem. That's not a problem of psichas hakever. Sometimes a woman needs that the ovaries be cleaned out. In other words, they sort of like blow air into the ovaries to clean them out and so that the eggs would be able to come in properly. That's a psichas hakever. In other words, it has to go into the, whatever is put in goes into the uterus and then into the ovaries, which are above the uterus. But another area of Eif Shal Psichas HaKever Below Dam, that's Och L'maisa, is the process of birth. Right? One of the questions I'm most asked by expectant fathers is, when does my wife become Anida? At what point in the birth process is she Anida? So clearly, if there's Riyas Dam, she's Anida. Okay? There's no question about that. Hu Hadin, there's generally, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates that there's a plug of mucus that closes the rechem. That plug usually is full of dam. In England, they call it a bloody show when that plug comes out. So that can come out a week or two before the birth. In other words, simply that all of a sudden the woman feels, sees this piece of mucus that has come out of her, and she runs to the gynecologist, what happened? And I said, oh, your plug came out. You're now unplugged, right? So that plug generally has dam on it, and so that's, she's in Anida because of the dam. However,
dam min ha-makor, though?
It's dam min ha-makor. The plug is in the makor. It's in the tzava harechem.
Do you have to ask a shayla, or it's always in
the... You can show it to a rav if you want to, but generally, I understand that it generally is covered with dam. If a woman has breaks, what's called her water breaks, all of a sudden her water breaks, the plug is still there, but water, liquid, can come out. So then there's no psichas hakever necessarily, unless the water has blood in it. But if it's clear water, all of a sudden her underwear is wet, and with this clear water came out, she's not Anida. However, birth is generally a process. And the Gemara in Shabbos deals with at what point is a woman a yoledet in terms of Chilul Shabbos. And the Gemara gives number of possibilities. One possibility is kishenosos osa chaveroteha, when she has to be carried by her friends. Another option over there is mishah shedam shoses viyored. A third one is mishah sheteshev al hamashber. So usually, and so there's a famous tshuva, Nachal Shiva is usually known for his heter of wearing sheitels as opposed to wearing fachela. But leaving aside that there are a lot of the Nachas Shiva is a sefer of shtaros that deals has the shtar erusin, shtar ksuva, shtar this, shtar that, all shtaros of Nachas Shiva. In the back of the sefer Nachas Shiva, he has tshuvas. So there he has a tshuva about giving birth, and he says the same criteria that apply for Chilul Shabbos apply also to turn a woman into a nida. So in terms of the practicality, so when a woman is dam yored v'shoses, we said certainly she's a nida. She's yoshevet al hamashber, means that she has regular tzirei leida, regular labor pains. Regular labor pains are usually defined between 3 and 5 minutes. If she has pains between 3 and 5 minutes that are regular, so we assume iefshel psichas hakever below dam, that there's already an opening of the birth canal, the of in other words of the rechem. The third option is shechaveroseha nososasa. Sometimes you have a woman who doesn't necessarily have contractions. She may have a stomach ache. She has a very bad stomach ache, and then she tells her husband, "I don't feel I can walk. You should run to the hospital, right? If you don't feel you can walk, it means that that's already also yefshel psichas hakever below dam." So those are generally the criteria. Just two ha'aros. One is that sometimes we have what we call false labor, namely a woman can go into labor and then stop. So the Nachla Shiva quotes, it's quoted over here somewhere on the page in the Torah Shlamim, that that in such a situation, there's the mialdot, the midwives in Poland would say that this woman remains a nida, even though the labor pain stopped, remains a nida. And he disagrees. Says if the labor pain stopped, then it means that l'mafreya was all a mistake, and she's not a nida. The second ha'ara is in terms of the opening. But we said that that normally, in normal circumstances, a woman has an opening between 1 and 2 millimeters. That's a young woman who has not yet given birth. But if you have a woman who Kanaina Hara has had already 5 or 6 children, and she's a normal woman, like, you know, we get flabby, so it's permitted also for women to that their muscles would get a bit flabby, then yitachen that on a regular basis she's going to have an opening of 2, 3, 4 centimeters. In other words, that that it were she to be, or even 15 centimeters. Or in other words, that if she were to be checked, there would already be an opening of a finger regularly without having going. So it doesn't mean that woman is constantly anida. It means that's her natural state. So you have to go in terms of an opening from that state. In other words, that the fact that she'll go in to the labor room, the woman will say, everything is fine. There's only an opening of 2 fingers. 2 fingers, oh my goodness. That's certainly yeshab sikha sikha b'lo adam. No, it means that that's her natural state, that the midwife knows that a woman this age who already has 3 or 4 children, that's the way that she is normally. It doesn't show anything at all about the fact that there's a unique psicha sakever in this situation. So it means a psicha from what normally is, not a psicha from the ideal.
Does that mean that you should ask the midwife if you don't have any of the others, if you don't have 3 or 5, should you ask the midwife?
No, you don't have to bother the midwife. She, you know, as we have over here our criteria. Our criteria is teshev ala mashber. Our criteria is dam yored v'shoseis. Our criteria is misha shechaveroseha nosososa.
If you don't hit any of those, you can go all the way until you see dam, or until...
Yeah.
Is that that she wants to sit in the mashber, or she can't get up, she has to sit in the mashber?
So I assume that it means that she wants to sit on the mashber. In other words, that it's... Or her body is telling her that she should be sitting on the mashber. So that can come about, again, either through contractions or simply a pressure that she feels that will, you know, that she wants to sit down, that she can't, that she finds it difficult to walk. And so either of those would create a situation of nidus. Okay, that's what we have over here in terms of the first set of Mara Makomos, which deal with nida doraisa. Moving over to the second set of Mara Makomos, really this is still the same topic. What's considered to be dam? Right, we said that a woman has to isha shiyatsa dam mimikora. What color of liquid coming out of the uterus would be defined as dam? So in Siman Kuf Peches, the Mechaber Paskins call Mare Odom, Beinim Hukeya Harbe O Omok Tmeim. The Shach already points out over here on the top of the page, Min HaTorah Enam Tmeim Ela Chamishe Mine Maros. If you remember when we were kids, we had these boxes of Crayola. So if you like got a Hanukkah gift, you'd get like the box of 150 crayons, and there would be about 25 of them that would be shades of red. Right? So out of those 25 shades of red, 5 of them are considered to be dam nida. V'chachamim hechmiru shelolitos ben dam ledam, or in time of the Amoraim, they lost, there were Amoraim who lost the Kabbalah of these 5. V'asru kol mare hanote la'ad mimus, from a light pink to a very, very dark maroon. Right? All of those are considered to be Adam, and all of those we would view as dam nida, at least a suffix doraisa. V'hechshiru kol mara she'en l'sapko b'admimus kal. What are the mara she'en l'sapko b'admimus kal? Let's continue in the Mechaber. V'chein kol mara shachar is tamei, because the Gemara says that shachar is dam, is red, that raka. Shachar Adam hu v'raka. It's oxidized. I assume that would be the modern scientific explanation, oxidized blood turns black. So red and black are considered to be tameh. And what is tahar? Ela mar elavan, white is tahar. V'chein mare yarok, let's for the time being call that green. Afilu mare hasha'ava o hazahav. Kol sheken hayarok yakarti o ka'asavim, v'chein mare shekorin blue. Okay, so blue and green are certainly are considered to be maros, and believe it or not, women have such maros. That it's not that the Machaber and the Ramah were talking about women on Mars. We're dealing with the body cleans itself out, and there all sorts of colors can come out. But the problem is over here in terms of the shava or zahav, which the Machaber calls a shade of green, which is mutar. Over here we have the Achronim, who are not so happy with this broad definition. If you look in the bottom of the page, where we find it? Where he quotes the Shalah. Look in the Torah. And Dogel Mirevava, sorry, on the bottom of the second of the back of the page, V'chein Mare Yorok or Mare Shava Ozov B'Shala B'Shem Arashal Machmir B'Mare Yorok Yishava V'Zahav V'Dafka B'Hargosha Avol B'Ketem Mekel V'Yimkincha B'Eid B'Lo Hargosha Kosov She'Svara L'Kan U'L'Kan Miu L'Acherim Ein L'Hachmir V'Ein Lozes M'Divrei HaShulchan Aruch Kein Nireli. Namely, that our problem is that these shades of gold and Sha'ava, sort of a yellowish candle color, a waxy color, that they look different to different people, and they're different Kabbalos. So if it is a gold which is more similar to orange, there many poskim are machmir. If it is a gold which is more similar to yellow, there many poskim are mekel. And then there are those, like the Shah over here, or the Marashah, distinguishing different bedikos. That if we're talking about a bedikas aid, an internal bedika, which may be an idem midoraisa machmir, if we're talking about something that was found on a beged, there's going to be mekel. And then there are those who distinguish between bedikos, that the hefsek tara has to be totally white. Masha'en kein, later bedikos can even be somewhat yellowish. So every posek in terms of his Kabbalah. There are different Kabbalahs of poskim depending upon whom one learned from. What's strange over here within the Shulchan Aruch is that there's a color which is most prevalent, which is missing altogether in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and that is brown. That's brought over here in the Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkatan Aleph, smack in the middle. It says over there, Ayin b'sidrei tahara b'shem matzasi kasuv, shedam hanota l'tzeva brown, shehu ke'en klipas armonim, like the shell of a chestnut, u'kamo mashke ha'kafe, a coffee color, hu tahor. Gofi she'en hanota l'admimus. Namely, that there are browns and there are browns. This is not the brown that they're talking about. This brown is more goes towards auburn, namely that there's a certain reddishness to this brown. But I think of where, right, this brown over here, which one would see the difference, this is a more of a coffee brown. And this brown is what that there, again, it depends on the Kabbalah, but many poskim would look at this and say it's perfectly fine. And then if you were to go to Tmei Asharim, to Rav Ransdorfer, he should live and be well, with a color like this, he'll say Tmei. In other words, it depends who you go to. So this is the brown that they're talking about, as opposed to a brown which is lighter or redder. In other words, this brown they're not talking about. This is the brown that everyone agrees is tameh. This is the brown that there are those who are mitaher. And there are a lot of women who have this color. So generally, if you become a rav in a community, you will find that you're going to get the same colors time and again from certain, from certain families, and different colors from different families. Like there are women that just have every individual is different, and their hormones create different shades of colors, and so one tends to it's that certain women are used to getting such a color, other women are not. Okay, so that's what we have over here. Mamish, 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 a regalachas. in terms of the colors. What's pointed out on the next page, from Siman Kuf Tzad Ivov, the Rama over there on the top of the page, Habadika Tiyelo Or Hayom Vlolo Or Haner. Ubidiyevid Mahani Afilu Lo Or Haner. That the colors, all colors are dependent upon the lighting in which one sees the colors. And generally one should use natural lighting. However, even the natural lighting you speak about, it should be ben chama l'tzel. It should not be direct sunlight, because what happens is that the light refracts off of the color. Generally, the bedika is damp. There's water there. When you have water and you have light shining on water, there's a refraction. And sometimes it will, when in direct sunlight, it will appear to have a reddish tint. If you move it out of the direct sunlight, you don't see any reddish tint at all. So that, you know, generally the bedikos are checked during the daytime, not in direct sunlight. But sometimes there's no alternative. Let's say a woman calls you hysterically that it's the end of the seventh day. She just did a bedikah. She's supposed to go to the mikveh that night, and it doesn't look totally clean. By the time she gets to you, it's going to be after shkia. She did the bedikah towards the end of the day. And by the time she gets going at night, you can't tell her, well, let's wait till tomorrow and look at it in daylight. That's not proper. She wants to go to the mikveh that night. And so then the Rav has to sort of create an artificial daylight. So the best way of doing that is by realizing that a fluorescent light makes everything appear to be less red than it really is, and an incandescent bulb makes it appear to be more red than it usually is, to try and create some sort of a framework where you're between these two lights, that they'll cancel one another out, and to try and look at it under such a light. I know now they have these things called sunlights that give a sense of daytime. In other words, particularly it's been for years in the Scandinavian countries during the winter, they found that people get very depressed during the winter because they just sort of feel like bears who can't hibernate. And if they have these sunlights that are very, very, very bright, it psychologically makes people feel they want to get up in the morning. And so you have like a wall panel that gets slowly, you know, gets brighter and brighter, and then kids get up and everyone's smiling. And so they moved it over in Seattle, it appears. It's also, there are very few days of sunlight during the winter. Rains a lot. So in Microsoft, there's a big Microsoft factory plant near Seattle. So one of the managers put one of these sun things in his room, and he found that all the people kept coming to his room. They enjoyed being in his room. In other words, it just gave them a sense like they were back in civilization. So maybe that would be good. I never tried to look at a bedika to that light, but it could be that would be something that maybe a Rav should invest in. And it actually don't have them. There are some, Baruch Hashem. There are certain things that don't have in Eretz Yisrael. It's like they don't put vitamin D into milk because people are outside. If you're outside, you get sunlight, and then your body manufactures vitamin D without problems. But there are certain things that are part of different cultures. But where there are differences of Kabbalot is what do you do when you have a bedika cloth that looks one way, looks one shade when you hold it a certain way, and when you turn it, it looks a different shade. It's like, what do you do? So of course you take off your glasses, you rub your eyes, look at it again, but still you see that it keeps going. So there are those that have a Kabbalah, if it looks red from any perspective, it's a problem. And there are those that say, if it's not red from any perspective, it's fine. Okay, so again, it depends who one studies with in terms of such a Kabbalah. And then, in other words, once someone came to me, like it was a Kala who was about to get married the next night, and she did a bedika, and I couldn't in any way, I told him, I'm not going to say that she's a Nida, but I can't tell her she can go to the mikveh. And so he ran across the street to another Rav, and he said it was fine. So I called another Rav and said, look, I believe you, that's fine. How do you do it? I couldn't do it, and I tried every which way. He said, I kept walking in the shade until I couldn't see it. So, as I said, okay, anyway, everyone has their Kabbalahs there has to be, you just can't make the decisions on your own. You have to study with someone who studied with someone, and then, but realize that particular Rav happened to be of a different Eidah than the one that I, that my genes relate me back to. And kind of he had a different Kabbalah from his a tremendous Yirei Shemayim. So I knew that certain times to send women to him. Don't come to me, you just go to him. Whatever he says is fine. So, let's continue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a chumra over here of the Bach, which sort of opens the Mandora's box. And in the Shach over here, Sif Katan Gimel, and the Taz also quotes his father on the Bach, that the Bach says, Kosa Bach da Hainu, on the first page of Kuf Peches, Hainu kishanishar yorok mitchiloso ad sofo. Aval im kishanishtane la'achar shenityabesha ketem v'naase odom b'ktsosav tamei. That if we have a bedika cloth, that when you look at it when it's damp, looks clean. When it dries out, you see a reddish tint, the Bach says that's no good. Why is that no good? So he wants to explain it scientifically. Kishanekar min aguf hu loka, v'naase yorok, kishanisyabesh, chazer l'mareihu, ktsas shehu odom t'chila. That the real color is the dry color. The damp color means it's covered over with all sorts of layers of liquids, of mucus that cover the real color. So according to the Bach, you should always wait until a bedika cloth dries out before seeing it. The Shach says that's a chumra. And we know, anu ein nohagin kein. It means basically that either a woman has to have a hair dryer that she's going to blow her bedikos with, or you're not going to see the bedika on the day that it comes to you. Because the day that it comes to you as a rav, generally it's still damp. In other words, nowadays they put it into plastic bags that are sealed tight. In other words, it's mamish, you know, when the rav looks at it, it's as though it came a minute ago from the woman. In other words, it's all damp. And the question is, do you have to wait? So the Shach says, "Achzuke reyusa lo machzakinan." That way, the Rav looks at it, and even if the Bach is correct, al pi svara, we don't worry about it. And therefore, the Eitza is throw it away. You know, it's take the bedika cloth and throw it away. The question is, what happens if you didn't throw it away? In other words, let's that. You know, it's looking over in the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat on Gimel, im roe hamora kishohaya lach. And then he put it in his drawer. And the next day he opened his drawer. Again, someone in the kol, let's say, asked him to save bedikot. He opened the drawer, and lo and behold, he sees, hey, it's you know, it looks different than what I saw yesterday. It's reddish. So the question is, what's the din? So the Pesachei Tshuva over here quotes a number of poskim, including the Chacham Tzvi, that it's tahora. Azlinan tamid basar yitzia min haguf. Hein letame o letayar. Pum fakir to the Bach. The Bach says the true color is when it dries out. The Chacham Tzvi says the true color is dafka when it's damp. That's the true color. When it dries out, things can change. That has nothing to do with halachic reality. And so he quotes tshuvas that are maskil Chacham Tzvi, but the son of the Chacham Tzvi, the Yavitz, Rav Yaakov Emdin, said, Mistafe lemevad uvda kedas avi. He didn't want to pass like his father. V'dayiti lahachmir ki yisrami dohado lemare. So again, to get around these problems, what Rabbanim should do, if they like to save bedikot to show their students, they should make a pile of them together. They shouldn't divide them. These are my tohar bedikos and these are my tameh bedikos. Then someone will come, just a minute, one of your tohar bedikos, I see red. Oh no, in other words, the Rav may remember whose that is. But if you put them all together and tell the student, okay, look at these and tell me what you think, fine. In other words, then it doesn't necessarily mean that this was tohar, this was tameh, etc., etc. Okay, so to try not to get involved in the suffix of the Bach, we paskin that the Rav looks at it the way it comes, and then he should not longer keep it separately. If he does keep it separately, and the color changes, then you get into a machlokes achronim, and then there's room to be machmir, and to call up the woman and say, well, I made a mistake, sorry, that she'll love you. Okay, that's what we have over here in terms of Nida Mida Oraisa. Again, the Nida Mida Oraisa come about via a Hargasha, via about Iyef Shel Psichas HaKever below Dam, and we're talking about with one of the shades that we've seen up to now. What if there is no Hargasha? So if you turn the page, that's Simon Kuf Tzadi. What? Oh, that's what we're moving to now. What if we have a situation, actually it's in the first set of Mar Makomos, Siman Kuf Tzadi, on the second page of the first set of Mar Makomos, Dvar Torah ein isha metama leba'ala v'lo asura leba'ala ad shetargish yetza mibisara, v'chachamim gozru al ketem shenimtza begufa o bebegadeha shehitmeya v'asura leba'ala afilu lo hirgisha. However, the moment that we go down to a din drabanan, there are all sorts of restrictions on the halacha. That's what we find in this second set of marmakamos on the third page. This is from Siman Kuf Tzadi. It's the middle of Sif Katan. Should be, sorry, the back, Siman Kuf Tzadi, the back of the second page, where it says Kuf Tzadi Sifhei. Lo gazru al haketem ela imkein yeshbo kigris v'od. In the time of Chazal, they had these creatures called ma'acholot that were sort of like large lice, and people would squish them when they sat on them, and they would have red color they would turn red when they were squished, and they were never larger than the size of a gris. So when it was smaller than the size of a gris, which in Eretz Yisrael would be about the size of a 10 agorot piece. In America, they spoke about the size of a penny. That if it's smaller than a gris, we'll assume that the woman sat on a macholet. And if it's larger, and we can't be told in the macholet, that's where we have the Iser Drabanan. So now, even though we don't have these, I think we would faint. Not only our wives would faint, we would faint if we would come into a bed where there was a squish. It was something very, very gross. But we don't have them. But b'chol zot, where Chazal were gozer, they were gozer. Where they weren't gozer, they weren't gozer. And so therefore, generally, when a woman were to find a stain on her underwear, the first thing to do is take a 10 agorot piece or take a penny and see whether they're talking about that which has to be dealt with. On the back page over here, the last page, from Machon Pua, they put into the computer a 10 agorot piece, a gris, and then they elongated it in different ways because it's very rare that you're going to have an exact circle on a beged. Generally, it is going to be something which is relatively elongated, and so it gives you a sense of what a gris looks like in different forms. Okay, so just be aware that these, in other words, are things that have to be taken into account when a question does arise. So we have this one requirement over here of the gris. If we have a safek in terms of the size, so sveka drabanan lekula. If it got lost and a woman says, well, I think it was less than a gris, sveka drabanan lekula. In other words, in all of these areas. Where we have issues is sometimes you have a situation where... it's in red. Where there's a little bit of red over here and a little bit of red over here. And it's connected with a color which is tahar. Right? It's clear that it's one ri'iya, but the question is, how do we measure this? So the Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes a Me'il Tzedaka. I'm sorry, everything is sort of upside down here. Here, it's in Siman Kuf Tzadi Sif Yud Aleph, Rabbi Kiva Eger over there. The same thing applies. The very end, it's next to the last page, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, Sif Katan Zayin over here in Siman Kuf Tzadi. It says, V'cheinim rasa ketem ravan, u'b'shtei ketzosav mar'eh adom. The halacha is, ha'ravan mitzarfan l'ha adom shiye ketem echad. Then we have to add these two together. And if we don't take into account the white as being part of the gris, but it's mitzarif the two. Normally, if we have a situation where a woman is simply to have small spots, less than a gris, a lot of small spots, we're not mitzarif them. That's what's points out over here. Even if it's a lot of little dots, but they're not connected. This is a kina. They're all mutter. But if they're connected with a color which is not tame, but clearly it's all part of one ri'iyah, then we're already mitzarif them. Okay, so that's in terms of the size of the grit. We have another condition over here. This is on the back of the third page, Sif Yud, Siman Kuf Tzadi Sif Yud, Kesem Hanimtza Al Davar She'eno Mekabel Tuma Lo Gazruba. That if the item on which the ketan is found is not mekabel, is not going to become tameh, the woman is also not going to become tameh. It's machlokes rishonim exactly what is the reasoning over here, but that's where what chazal were gozer and what they weren't gozer. So the example given over here in the machader is badka karka olam o beis kisei in a mekabel tuma. Namely, the toilet is attached to the ground. If a woman were to see a ketan on the toilet, then that's considered to be on karka. It's not mekabel tuma. There was no hargasha, there's no problem. But the example which usually we deal with nowadays is in terms of the material on which we find the ketan. Namely, if we were to have a synthetic material. A synthetic material, lechora, is not mekabel tuma. The question is, what happens if we have a synthetic material which isn't a sheet, like a sheet of polyester or a sheet of acrylene, but it's woven. We have threads of acrylic or threads of polyester that make up a beged. Women many times can wear underwear if they enjoy, you know, that it should have certain colors, so it can be totally synthetic, all 100% polyester, but it's clearly woven. How do we view that? That's a machlokas between the poskim. Rav Moshe is mekel, as long as we're dealing with synthetic fibers. Rav Yashiv is mekel. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal was machmir. The Minchas Yaakov was machmir. As to whether the moment that it's woven, does that give it a status of a beged? Or we say that since the material from which it's woven is synthetic, it's not a problem. In terms of paper, here we have a Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkatan Yudches. Ayein benodde biyudet in yana shekos of the near shalonu mekabel ksamim delogara milavadim. The Chasam Sofer is cholek. Most achronim paskin like the Chasam Sofer lahakel that toilet paper is not something which is mekabel tuma, and therefore again we point out that the woman should wait a little bit before wiping herself. That would turn it into a ketem. Then the moment it's on toilet paper, there's room to be mekel. In terms, yes.
Does the same problem exist by the toilet itself if it was actually somewhat in the mevag line?
Well, theoretically, yeah. In terms of katan, many women, katan is very, very soft. A material, and women would feel comfortable putting cotton between their body and the underwear, and then you find a ria on the cotton. So over here, lechora, cotton is not mekabel tuma. It's not been turned yet into, it's still in its relatively natural stage. Rav Yoshev, however, is machmir in terms of cotton. He views it nowadays as though it's already been combed and sort of turned into a man-made item. And so this brings us to the question, how most women nowadays like to put a pad, a hygienic pad, between their body and their underwear. Because if a woman many times has rios, or even rios tahoros, she doesn't want to have to change her underwear, so they'll put, what's it called in English? In Hebrew it's simply called pad. Which is generally made up of two materials. It has cotton and it has synthetic fibers. That's what's usually made of, cotton and synthetic fibers. And the question is, how do we view that pad? Do we say that since it's sold as a pad, it's like a beged and it's tame? Do we say, well, since the materials that make it up are not mekabel tuma, there's room to be mekel? And so it creates a problem. In other words, there is room to be mekel. Rav Breich's son put out a sefer called Chokuzman, very, very fine sefer. Rav Lech has many, many fine children. One of them lives in Kiryat Sefer and put out a sefer on Hilchos Nida, in which he wrote a tshuva of some 7 pages to prove why it should be not a problem, and he sent it to Rav Nevinsel, and Rav Nevinsel agreed with him. But there are poskim that are machmir. I was told that in America that they have these pads that are not white, that are black. In other words, and that's wonderful. I mean, the companies made them, I guess, that women who were color conscious would like to color coordinate. So if they're wearing dark underwear, they would feel they'd want to have a dark pad. But for Hilchos Nida, that would be wonderful, because what we'll see in the next halacha is V'chein ketem shenimtza beged tzavua tahora. That's the svara, that you can't tell what was the original color when it's a beged tzavua, and therefore the Rama says l'fikach tilba she'isha bigdei tzivonim kidei lahatzila mikasamim, that when a woman is not counting shiva nikim dafka, she should wear colored underwear. And so if you have this pad which is colored, that would be wonderful. It hasn't made it yet to Eretz Yisrael, but if your parents coming to visit, it's a nice gift to give to your wife, in other words, to have these. Have these pads that are that your yotzei kol hadeos. The problem is, in terms of colors, what does one do with very light pastel colors? An off-white or a light tan, beige. Here, Rav Vosner has a tshuva that the whole reason that the color is a problem or is metaher is because we can't tell what the original color of the ketem was. But on a very light shade, l'chor, you can still see that this is has a reddish tint. So that is not, in other words, so when a woman is tahora, she should wear underwear that have a darker color. Many women like to have underwear that has patterns, that have flowers, etc. Then you have a problem. What if you have a ketem which is partly on the pattern and partly on the white? That's what Rabbi Kivager deals with over here. Imhu minumar, if this beged is leopard spotted. Tseva alavan. You have spots and you have white. Vaketem al hatseva, viyotze al kitzoseha al halavan. So again, you take the parts that are on the white and you metzarif them to the gris. Rather, but the part which on the tseva itself is not mitztaref. Only the parts which are on the lavan are mitztaref. Even though it's all one ri'iya, but Chazal were gozer, and Chazal were matir, pesh asar, hu apesh shehitir. So just in terms of one nekuda halach lemaisa, and that is that, what if we have this woman, really, who, let's say she counted up to 100, and then wiped herself, and she has this big red spot on the toilet paper. So al pi din, when she goes to the Rav, well, Rav will say it's toilet paper, she's Torah, but she feels uncomfortable. I mean, what's she going now to have relations with her husband and chas v'shalom be putting him into a situation of safek kares, etc. So even though al pi din, there's no reason for her to check herself al pi din, the Achronim point out in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know how it goes in America, Rav Karelitz and Rav El Yoshev, Rav Vosner, that it would be proper for her to check. Simply to make life more comfortable. Why should she go on a guilt trip if things turn out that afterwards, she, in other words, that maybe she was a nida and you know she was just off on a technicality? But al pi din, if she were to ask the halacha, the rabbi, do I have to check myself internally? The answer is no. But many times the rabbi would tell her, however, if you're going to feel uncomfortable being with your husband, knowing that you had this large spot and you were just off on a technicality, because it wasn't a beged tzavua, because it wasn't a beged chena mekabel tuma, that you had a lot of little dots and they simply weren't connected, but you know, it's but this is the way you usually begin your period, etc. Then many times the Rav will tell her, it would be proper for you to check. If it's the day of her veset, then she certainly should check. Right? So if she's expecting, this is the day of her veset, and she happens to be wearing colored underwear because it's still she's still not tameyah, and she has a ri'iyah on the colored underwear, you know, then she should do an internal exam just to see what's going on. Yes?
Assuming it's not time to rest, and she's demonstrated a chazaka by checking three times, would machmirim still say it's proper for a check?
No, it's not to check to be machmir. It's check simply to put her at ease. If she's at ease, no problem. If she's not at ease, then even though she could mess herself up, quote, in other words, by saying, oh, now I know I'm Tmeyah, and I'd really rather not be Tmeyah. Baruch Hashem, women don't want to be Tmeyah. Husbands don't want it to be Tmeyah. No one wants a woman to be Tmeyah. But sometimes it may be more healthy for her psychologically if she would check, even though if al pi din, there's no need for her to check. Yes?
Would waiting a day or two to be mevare what the Matthias is, would that also accomplish the same?
Why wait a day or two? She's not going to, if she's not going to be living with her husband, so she might as well know what the situation is. Then she already could be counting five and seven. Why should she wait? That's already a decision that the couple can take within themselves. There's one more din lekula in terms of a ketem, and that's the concept of tliya. That if we can be tola this ketem on some other source of red aside from dam nidut, so we try to be tola. So the examples that are given over here in Sif Yud Ches, kevan sheksamim drabanan mekilin bahem v'tola b'chol davar sheyachol alitalos. These are things that usually are very hard to understand in terms of the way our women are dressed, how that would help us in terms of what's on her underwear. But what's mentioned over here is im yeshla maka begufa. If a woman has hemorrhoids, if a woman was scratched in the area, or a woman would go to a gynecological explanation and the gynecologist would tell her, the woman, you have a petza, and that petza could very well be causing whatever bleeding you're seeing, then, since there was no hargasha, we could certainly be somech that that's the source of the bleeding. So, that the din of tliya certainly allows us to link the bleeding to a petza if it's likely that is the source of the blood. Okay, we'll stop over here. Again, we can't cover everything, but I hope that at least we covered the main points. In Eretz Yisrael, there is a sefer called Mare Kohen that I recommend for those who just want a good, solid review. There's a sefer in the Chokuzman of Rabbi Bleich, which you probably get from the Rabbi Bleich who was here. If you want to go into something in depth, he has a tremendous number of Mamre Kohenes and spoke to Poskei Zmanenu on all the issues that exist nowadays. In America, I assume that there are also Sfarim, but I just don't know what they are. Sorry. So, Blina, the next time, we said, if we want to set a time, either it could be next Sunday at 4 or next Monday at 9:15. Any preference? Or it could be next Wednesday at 3. Any preference for either of those three times?
Sunday
at 4? I'm sorry if it's in the middle of Seder, but simply I have a meeting at 3 that are already scheduled and I can't change it. So 4 to 5. What? I can't. I have Chavrusa at 6 o'clock in Har Nof and I have to get back there. It takes me time to get back. So I'm sorry. So Monday between 4. It's a cycle will be three times. So we already did one. So Monday at 4.